Grace, mercy, and peace be unto us from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God which engages us this day is the reading we just heard. Dear friends in Christ, it wasn't meant to be a theological statement. It wasn't meant to be a confession of sin. But many of you who are old enough will remember the 1976 song by Mac Davis titled, "Lord, It's Hard to Be Humble." The first two verses go like this. "Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror, 'cause I get better looking each day. To know me is to love me. I must be a heck of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can." I trust that none of us here suffers with an inflated ego to that extent. But yet, if we are honest with ourselves and look through Scripture and look into our own hearts, we find that God's people often struggle and often find it hard to be humble. Paul was writing to Christians in the city of Philippi who apparently found it hard to be humble. The directives he gives to them would indicate that. Did you catch those directives? He says to them, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. Each one should look not only after his own interests, but after the interests of others. And finally, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus." Although Paul had a great relationship with the Christians at Philippi, apparently there were at least some in Philippi who found it hard to be humble. But they, of course, were not the first people of God to struggle with sinful human pride. That sinful human pride has been defined as the excessive concern and love for one's own excellence, or perhaps we should say the perception of one's own excellence. It is harmful spiritually because it diverts our attention away from God and onto ourselves, and in extreme cases can even cause us to forget about God altogether. That's exactly what happened to God's people in the Old Testament. God, speaking through the prophet Hosea in Hosea chapter 13, describes the succession of events that culminated in God's people forgetting about him altogether. He writes, "When I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. And when they became proud, they forgot me." For God's people in the Old Testament, it seems, it was hard to be humble. But the same was true for people Jesus encountered when he walked upon this earth. You remember the account of the Pharisees? Jesus was dining at the house of a Pharisee, and the Pharisees coming in all sought the positions of great honor and the seats of great prominence. Or remember the disciples themselves, who on more than one occasion argued as to which one of them would be the greatest in the kingdom. Or remember the incident when James and John and the mother of James and John all come before Jesus, and the mother of James and John asks for special places of prominence for her two boys, James and John, when Jesus comes in his kingdom. And remember how the other disciples were indignant with James and John, not because they thought it an inappropriate request, but because they wanted those positions of honor for themselves. It was hard to be humble, even for the disciples. And how ironic that while the people who were thought to be in the kingdom of God found it hard to be humble, we also have accounts in the Gospels of people who were thought to be outside of the kingdom who exercised great humility. Remember the centurion who came to Jesus to petition him on behalf of his servant who was ill? Remember what he said to Jesus? "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but merely say the word, and my servant will be healed." Or there was the Canaanite woman who came to Jesus on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter, and in all humility said to Christ, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." So prevalent was this pride on the part of God's people, and this humility on the part of those who were thought to be outside of the kingdom, that Jesus was moved in Luke chapter 18 to tell a parable about a publican who went to pray and a Pharisee who went to pray. You remember how the parable goes. The Pharisee stood proudly before God and said, "I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, or adulterers, or like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I tithe of all that I get." And in contrast, there stood the tax collector off at a distance, not even raising his head to heaven, instead beating his breast and saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Jesus adds that that one went home justified, not the other. "For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." How ironic that God's own people often find it so hard to be humble. And yet in our text, we are presented with what might be called the inverted pyramid of humble Christian service. Standing at the top of that pyramid by rights is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who by rights deserves the service, the adoration, and the praise of all who are beneath him. But he voluntarily inverts that pyramid and places himself at the bottom and serves all others in that pyramid by his life and death and resurrection. That's the account that Paul gives us, reminds us of in today's reading. The one of our Lord and Savior who was in very nature God himself, but did not count equality with God something to be latched onto and held firmly to, but instead emptied himself and took on the form of a servant, humbled himself, and was obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And then Paul says, "Have this same attitude amongst yourselves." Not a very comforting thought for you and for me as we struggle on a daily basis with being humble. Here in this place, we perhaps ourselves on a daily basis find it hard to be humble. We who are here preparing to serve as pastors, missionaries, or leaders, or deaconesses in the church, or those who are doing the preparing, or those who serve on the staff of this great institution of the church, receive such respect and reverence and adulation from those outside the church that we are often tempted to think more highly of ourselves than we should. The academic environment itself can give rise to a spirit of competition and a desire to be lifted up and raised above one another and recognized for it. And the temptation does not step at the seminary property line. For those who go out from here to serve in the noble task of the pastoral ministry are oftentimes tempted to think that it's their own wit and charm and intellect and skills and abilities that make it a noble task. We too can find it hard to be humble. But this example, of course, is a comforting example because it is much more than an example for us to follow. It is the very means through which our sins are forgiven. By his perfect obedience, Christ covers over our disobedience. By his ultimate act of humility, he covers over our vain attempts at conceit and selfish ambition. And most important of all, by his resurrection and exaltation, we are pointed ahead to that great day when we will rise once again as well, exalted before him in his presence forever. And Paul tells us elsewhere that that existence will be anything but humble. For our bodies that are sown in weakness will be raised in power. Sown perishable will be raised imperishable. Sown in dishonor will be raised in honor. And as Paul says, we will live in that existence with the Lord forever. From hard to be humble to hardly humble, through the one who humbled himself for all of us. What is left for us? Simply to pray the prayer that Paul gives us today. May this mind also be among us. Amen.